Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians 4, we find ourselves in verse 25. You know, and it occurred to me that God has us going through Ephesians during his time because it's a very practical book, and if we'll apply the truth of Ephesians, we're going to get through all this time with flying colors. I was just speaking with somebody this morning about the things going back to the way they were, and this person said to me, things are never going to be the way they were. It's different now. But you know what? The kingdom of God hasn't changed. The kingdom of God has no change. He said, I change not. I'm the Lord, I change not. How many know he doesn't change? And so we're very, you know, we're talking about very practical things in the Word of God. But they're things that make up the kingdom. Truth in the kingdom is so very important. It starts out in Ephesians 4:25. Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What a passage. What a challenge. Especially in this day and hour, because, man, there's a lot of reasons to be upset and angry and say things we don't want to say. Come on, someone. There's a lot of excuses that we can make and say, look at the shape of the... I mean, somebody's going to speak about it. But God encourages us by His Holy Spirit that we're to love and to honor. Come on. We speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. So it's therefore, previously, Paul had talked about all that he said up to this point. He says, therefore, and he starts with, put away lying. Anything that's not the truth of the Word of God is a lie. And man, in America especially, our rights, we like to say we have a right to. Listen, we gave away our rights when we got saved. We gave away our rights when we got saved. God said, I own you now. I want to speak through you now. That doesn't mean we don't point out wrong, but we do so in the spirit of love. Kingdom relationships are grounded in Christ. He is the embodiment of truth. He said, I am the truth. We are being conformed to His image. And so everything that we do, everything that we say, especially in this time, especially in this day, is to be reflecting His love, reflecting His truth. You know, I've always said we can't blame people for walking in darkness. They're in darkness. They're until they get saved, until the Holy Spirit draws them, they're in darkness. They can't see. We can't beat them up for being dumb. Come on, somebody. Lies are the seedbed for broken relationships. We got to speak the truth to one another in the body of Christ as well. It's time for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. It's time for the church to be the church. Not just an organization where people get together and pay their dues. Come on, someone. We've got to love one another. We've got to encourage one another. And we've got to speak the truth. Stop doing that or encourage to do that. The truth is very important. We are members. It says, let each one speak truth. We are members of His body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, there on the left-hand column of your handout. that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are members of one another. You who are listening by Facebook, you're members with us. We encourage you as you're at home to pray for us. We'll pray for you. The love of God covers all of us. The love of God covers all of us. No one is an island. There's no one alone. And there are no exemptions from that. We are part of the body of Christ, whether we feel like it or not. Sometimes we don't feel like we're part of anything. We have to understand that's just a feeling, that's not the truth. We're a vital part of the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. If I took my arm and tied it to my side and didn't use it for 6 months, how many know it would atrophy? All the muscles would go bad and I wouldn't be able to use it. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to abuse my body. If I started to abuse my body and do stuff like that, y'all would say, Pastor Rick, you need to go see a specialist. Come on, somebody, wouldn't you? How much more will Jesus take care of his body? How much more will Jesus make sure that every part gets what it needs to be a part of his body? He's not slack concerning his promises. Even when we're in rebellion, even when we don't spend the time we need to spend with him, he continues to pour into us because we're part of his body. There's no exemption to that. We are members one of another. And that's why we need to encourage one another, to love one another. Spoken truth to each other brings healing. When we speak the truth, it always is a positive reaction. How we react to someone speaking the truth is where we get in problems, because it goes right into the next thing. Listen to what he says, verse 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When we begin to speak truth, we can get angry. Ricky said it while he was up here giving his testimony. Where'd Ricky go? He was giving his testimony. He said, I'm angry. We need to take inventory every day. There's plenty to be upset about in this hour. Like I said, the world is, I'll tell you what. If I want to test my anger, all I got to do is listen to CNN for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. I'm so angry, I want to spit. But I got to take it to the throne. Because I realize that they're getting their information from the enemy. The enemy has taken over the radio waves, the airwaves. He's taken it over. Man, there's conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. You would think everybody's evil. Listen, there are things falling apart, but God's in control. God's in control. He's got a plan. I'm going to stick with his plan. I said, I'm going to stick with his plan. Take inventory every day. Where is our heart? If we're angry, we ought to be angry with the way that the enemy has been allowed to run roughshod, not only over our nation, but even over the church. It's time to get angry at what anger will do. Anger directed to the right place, resistance of the devil, he'll flee. It's very hard not to get angry at flesh and blood people. As I've said before, sometimes you wonder, you know, God hasn't given them the brains he gave geese. But it's okay. God's going to have his way. Amen? And without him, I wouldn't have any brains. Come on, somebody. I trust him and I challenge you to take inventory in your heart. Handle the situation, the situations that we're going to face in the future. And listen to me, it's going to get much more pressurized. I'm not speaking doom and gloom. I'm just saying it's going to be a lot more pressurized from the government. And we're going to have to know how to deal with it as Christians. Come on, someone. We can't make excuses and be a Christian part-time. We're Christian 24/7. Our whole life is given to Him. Our life belongs to God. We need to adjust the way we think and handle the situation like a Christian. Goes on to say, do not give place to the devil. You know, the devil gets blamed for a lot of things, but he is legally able to occupy those that don't rebuke him. He'll sneak in and set up camp. And we need to rebuke him and get rid of him. Don't give place to the devil. It's a warning. If he is unchallenged, he'll stay right where he's at. He'll occupy your mind. He'll occupy your thoughts. You'll be all scared. You'll be all fearful. Oh my God, is God going to take it? Listen, God's promises are yes and amen. We sang it this morning. His promises are over us. His banner over us is love. And in all this, we must take authority over our flesh. Because if we let the flesh run, the enemy will run roughshod over us. Take authority over your stinking flesh. And then it says something that I had to meditate on, verse 28, for a couple of days. Do not continue stealing. Where did that come from in this conversation? Do not continue stealing. How many are thieves in here? Have any thieves? What's it talking about? That stealing. Do not steal things that are somebody else's. Don't live on somebody else's faith. Exercise your own faith. Don't steal. Don't get something from a theory or somebody else that's doing something and say, I want to be just like him. Come on. Be who you are in Christ. Those who will not work are usually the stealers, ashamed to beg, and they're exposed to stealing, so they steal. If you're not actively pursuing a relationship with Christ, you're going to try to glom off somebody else so you can get the pat on the back. Listen, it's your relationship between you and God. Let him who steal no more. And just plain working is part of the covenant. By your works, James makes the argument, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. Without faith, without works, faith is dead. Come on, somebody. Doing something good. If needed, you'll be able to supply for others. Not only money from your wallet, but prayers from your heart. Counseling from your heart. Come on, someone. We can encourage somebody that's going through a fearful time and say, you know, God is on your side. It's going to be okay. You're giving to them out of the overflow of your relationship with Christ. Don't steal it from something else. Industrious saints make obedient ones. Let us be industrious and pursue hard after God. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What's it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? All the things that's just been mentioned. Don't lie. Don't be angry and sin. Don't steal something from someone else or corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Say, did you ever think about what corrupt communication is? It's passing on something that's not founded in the Word. Not necessarily four-letter words that you're not supposed to say. Corrupt communication is saying things that are not true, that are not based in God's Word. When I was a kid, You never wanted to say you were sick and didn't want to go to school. Now kids get sick and they want to go to school. They stay at home, play hooky, you know. My mom had the cure. It was called castor oil. Anybody ever heard of castor oil? She would get the bottle of castor oil out, and all of a sudden, I was ready to go to school.
Feeling fine.
And if you've never had castor oil, please don't ever try it. Tastes like liniment and motor oil. I don't know where that came from, but do not grieve the Holy Spirit from whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God has sealed us for the day of redemption. He set a mark on us. He confirmed us. There's confirmation that we're his. We're welcome in the throne room. We hear his word. Again, we're not exempt from that. Somebody says, I don't hear God. Well, open your ears. Those of you who have said that time, I've said that myself. But it's not God's problem that I can't hear. It's mine. Again, God's going to take care of me because I'm part of his body. Authentication. He is there all the time and speaking to me. And it's all for the day of redemption when we'll be with him, body, soul, and spirit. And Paul revisits this just to confirm some of the things that are happening. He says, in the next verse, in 31, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So let's go through that list because it seems like a negative thing, but the more that we get off of us, the lighter we are and the better we are to hear God's word. And he starts with bitterness. It's a result of a grudge or unforgiveness. Bitterness can eat you up. Very recently, I went through a time of going through forgiveness. There were a couple things that I just couldn't get over. And it was eating me up. And it was getting into the bitterness of it. And man, that's a killer. You talk about a cancer, that's a death sentence. Bitterness must be taken care of. And really, the bottom line is, we do not believe God can handle it. That's what causes bitterness. Are you there? Really, what it is we say, well, I've got to be angry and bitter because I know God can't take care of this. It's this too much for God. It's really what we're doing. We're just saying, God, you can't take care of this. I'll take care of it, and I'll be angry, and I'll be upset, and I'll let it get a hold of me. And really what it does is breaks our relationship with God. We're not able to hear God. We don't want to read. We don't want to pray. We don't want to witness to anybody. We don't want to tell people how good God is because we don't really believe he's good because he's not taking care of our problem. How many know God takes care of every problem? I love what Diane was saying, big deal. Things happen. Big deal. We just trust God. Trust God and he'll get us through it. Let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath is anger that's with a vendetta. We want to stick it to the other guy. We get mad. We get angry. We want to pour out. We want somebody to get theirs. You gave it to me, I'm going to give it to you. That's where the gospel message has to come through. Even your enemies we're supposed to love and take care of and bless. Boy, that's hard to do. I gave the example a couple times, but early on, back years ago, I was working for a Chevrolet dealer in my hometown. And the owner, I think I told you this, the owner used to come in every morning and get on his knees and kiss my ring and say, "Father, forgive me, for I've sinned." Mocking me in front of whoever was in the showroom and all the other salesmen, because he knew I was a Christian. And a pastor, I was going to be a pastor at that time. But man, I'd like to say I went through that with shining colors and it didn't bother me. Yes, it did. I wanted to hurt him. You know, each morning when he got down on his knees, I wanted to, get him right in the nose. But he would do it and mock me, and he wanted me to perform better than any other salesman. There were about 12 of us on the sales force. And, you know, he wanted me to be the top sales guy and always pressured me and all kinds of things. But I really had to deal with it to a place where I was able to love him and pray for him. Because I realized how lost he was. Come on, somebody. And then anger, a reminder that it has no place. Anger has no place in the Christian unless it's against the enemy. And then evil speaking, cross praying, cursing someone, vengeance or evil wishes. Man, we don't speak evil about people. Even those that are obviously evil. I mean, God's going to take care of it. Are you there? God's going to take care of it. May not be whenever we want him to, because we want it right away, instant payback. Everyone, doesn't matter who he is or she is, will stand before God one day. Everyone. With all malice. Malice is kakia. It's ill will or desire to injure. Wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws and come against people. And if you have those kind of thoughts, every one of us have been tempted to have those kind of thoughts. Boy, I wish they'd be dead. I wish they'd just die already. They're so evil, I wish they'd, you know, just drop over dead. Man, what an evil thought. God loves them. God died for them. Come on, someone. It's all right to wish they'd have another job, like, you know. Don't be a senator. Go do something else. And he brings it back really to where we live. Be kind to one another. There is never any excuse to be rude or vindictive or injurious. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. Love one another. And every one of us have. There's a person in this room that hasn't been mad at me or I at you probably one time or another. Come on, somebody. But we need to love one another. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. I looked up the meaning of tenderhearted and it says having strong bowels. Isn't that funny? I mean, in three or four different resources that I found, it says having strong bowels. And I thought, God, what do you mean by that? It means have a strong constitution. Don't let things bother you. Let it run off your back like a duck, water on a duck's back. Come on, someone. Don't let it bother you. This too shall pass. I always ask, what impact will this have eternally? What impact will this disagreement or my angst or their angst against me, what will that have to do with me living the rest of my life with God? If it's not going to impact eternity, I'm okay. And by the way, there's very few things that will affect eternity except our relationship with Him. And then the big thing, he ends up this whole passage forgiving one another. Listen to what he says. I love it. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. It would have been good if there had been a period, an exclamation point there. I would have loved that it would have just ended there. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay, I forgive you. But look what it says, comma, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. Now, there's nobody in this room can justify your sin. You can't say, well, I was a sinner, but I wasn't that bad of a sinner. No, man, you were headed to hell full steam ahead. And God forgave you and cleansed you and gave you a new life and made you a new creation and loves you and pours His Spirit upon you and gives you everything you need. None of these diseases. He gives you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. He gives you all the gifts. Gives you a family to be and surrounds you with angelic hosts. Gives you the Holy Ghost. Man, that's forgiveness. To take your enemy and die for your enemy, because we are all enemies of the cross, to die for your enemy and to fill your enemy with your spirit, make him your child, that's the kind of forgiveness that God gave us. That's the kind of forgiveness. It wasn't a slight forgiveness. It wasn't, I forgive you, but it was forgiveness. It was complete forgiveness. Never to mention that enemy again. I take my enemy and make him my family. If that's the gauge, if that's the direction God is calling us for, what a calling it is to walk in the forgiveness that God gave us. That means we are not tolerant. We are not to tolerate any kind of unforgiveness, even the slightest little bit against one another. If there's any unforgiveness in our heart, get rid of it. No other love did anyone give but such as Christ gave, that He died for the ungodly. He died for me. When I could give a hoot what He thought, who He was, or what He did. I could give a hoot about Him. And He said, I'm dying for Rick Smith. Come on, somebody. When He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just saying about the people there in that little circle on Golgotha. He was talking about the whole world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, that forgiveness is so deep and so wide, so unfathomable. How He forgave us. And this is the comparison that Paul gives. Right here he says, forgiving one another even as God. Here's the comparison now. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. You mean we could be running around with all kinds of sin on our account? All the things that we thought were forgiven, God said, I'm not forgiving those. I'm just not going to forgive those. Because you have not forgiven your brother. You have not forgiven your sister. You're harboring unforgiveness. And I'm not going to do it. His word says, if you won't forgive those who have done you wrong, I'm not going to forgive you. It's not a tit for tat. It's not that God's angry. It's that God's word is pure. He says, I forgave you of everything that you ever did or everything that you would do without me, and I made you part of my family. Now, that kind of forgiveness is what I'm asking you. No, what I'm telling you, you must do, because if you don't, unforgiveness is going to stay between you and me. And when we stand before Him on that day and say, God, accept me, He'll say, all of this I couldn't forgive. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. All of this, I couldn't forgive. Now, whether or not that's going to keep us from heaven, that's not for me to say. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to face a mountain of unforgiveness to go through to get to glory. So what's that mean? It means I have to unburden myself of that unforgiveness. I have to go back and forgive everyone that ever did me wrong. No matter if it was yesterday or 40 years ago, I've got to get rid of it. I want somebody. That's a holy thing. Because what it does is it makes us exactly like God. It makes us exactly like God. The people that hurt us the most, we forgive the most, we love the most, and embrace the most, because we want to see them saved and going to heaven just like us. We want to see them have a relationship with God just like we do. That's the motivation within us that rises up within us that overcomes all the terrible things someone might have done to you. In the words of Diane, so what? You're here. You're all right. You still got two eyes, two ears, and 10 toes. It's going to be okay. Let God take care of that. But here's the way we think sometimes. Just allow me a couple more minutes. Here's the way we think sometimes. Well, if this person would just, if these people would maybe, I'm going to give them one more chance. None of that's forgiveness. What that is forgiveness with amendments. I'll forgive if. I'll forgive when. I'll forgive sometimes. I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. No, forgiveness is as God forgave you in Christ. I challenge you to go to God and ask Him about your past sins. I challenge you to go and ask God about your past sins. You know what God is going to do? Big silence. He don't remember. He doesn't mention. That's the kind of forgiveness that Paul ends this whole passage with. Because it really covers all the lying and the speaking words and the corrupt communication and stealing no more. All of that is combined with that one word, forgive as Christ forgave you. And if the body of Christ would enact that on this earth, you talk about revival. You talk about a place where people can come to say, you mean all the terrible things I did can be forgiven? Yes. You talk about the world beating a path to the church? It's based on that. Man, we have for so long put all these signs up. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you do that, you're going to hell. You had an abortion, you're going to hell. You're gay, you're going to hell. This, you're going to hell. That, you're going to hell. And some people say, I don't want to be around you. You think I'm going to hell. All you want to do is condemn me. We just tell people, God loves you. He died for you. Come on. Come on, somebody. Who do we think we are? It's like watching a movie and somebody wakes up from a sleep and their hair is perfect and their makeup is perfect, you know. Just get out of bed. I don't know about you, but when I get out of bed, I don't look perfect. My hair is a mess when I get out of bed. I don't know about you. Come on, someone. We've got to again love the world. We've got to again love the world. Not the things of the world, but the people that are in the world. But listen, we'll never be able to do that because Paul's talking to the body of Christ. Forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Harboring nothing against one another. Loving one another. With all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Because we are part of the body of Christ. Because if we don't, it's just like tying your arm to your side. We wonder why the body of Christ is not moving well. It's because we got a bunch of it tied up. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you would lay on our hearts, God. Do not let up, God, but lay on our hearts those that we need to take care of, those that we need to forgive. And my Bible says, God, if I'm at the altar and someone has something against me, I don't even have anything against them. But if someone has something against me, I would go and make it right with them, God. And humble myself so that we can be one as you and God are one, Jesus. Father, if anything is holding back revival, it's that, God. Let us be tenderhearted, kind towards one another, loving one another and forgiving as you forgave us. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.